Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Amen. Good night.
Bless the Lord. Good night. Good night, everyone. Amen.
Good
Amen.
night.
Amen.
Good night.
Bless the Lord. Yeah, welcome, welcome to another Bible study. It has been a blessing, and we just give God thanks for his many benefits to us. You know, every morning we see new mercies, and we give God thanks for that.
Amen.
Before we begin, let us pray. Kind, loving, and great Heavenly Father, we just want to appreciate you this evening. We just want to present ourselves, mighty God, a living sacrifice unto you. We pray, mighty God, that you will come and tabernacle with us in a very special way this evening. We pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will fall afresh upon us. Give us wisdom. Yes, Lord, give us understanding. Give us grace, mighty God, to continue the walk of faith that you have called us into. Lord, we cover this meeting under your blood even now. We pray, mighty God, that you will speak from beginning to end, and your voice always makes that difference. We pray, mighty God, that you will just give us, mighty God, the extra unction to function in times like these. You know the challenges that exist, mighty God. You know everything that surround everyone that would be here, Lord. And I pray, God, that as your word would go forth, it will bring forth light. And we know that when light comes, all darkness must go. So anything of pain, anything of ache, anything of discomfort, anything of worries, anything of fear and doubt, your light, the light of your word, will cast it out in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, we just commit our thoughts and everything, our actions, into your hand. And as we open your word, we pray, mighty God, that you will be seen. We will be hidden behind the cross, and you, God, will be exposed. Have your way now, Lord, as we tell your thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Indeed, he is. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome you once more. Last week, I was absent. I was on, but I wasn't actively involved like how I wish to be tonight. Amen. And we thank God that we had capable leaders that could carry on in my absence. You know, thank God for Sister Camille, who started the meeting, who moderated, and who would pray up the team. You know, thank God for Sister Allison. You know, she co-hosted, and also she did the attendance. And, you know, thank God for Sister Lynette. You know, Sister Grant presented last week on Jacob. It was such a blessing. I heard the record. I went over the recording. Also, I was on, and oh God, it was such a blessing.
Amen.
You know, thank you, Sister Grant, for that presentation, and Jacob. And no, you were supposed to finish it this week, but because of circumstances beyond your control, we would forego it until another setting. Amen. Thank God again for Sister Ava, part of our leadership team, and Sister Thelma. You know, we bless God for you all. If it hasn't been for your contribution and your dedication, Sister Camille, you know, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for the team that we have. You know, it wouldn't have been the same without you. We thank God for all our members that continue to come week after week. And we know that God is doing something on this side of the vineyard, and we continue to rest in his unfailing love. We continue to bask in his presence, because in his presence there
Amen.
is fullness of joy,
Amen.
and we are recipient of that joy today. Amen. If it hasn't been
Amen.
for the Lord on
Amen.
our side, hallelujah. If it hasn't been for him on our side, where would we be today? It would blow our minds and our thoughts if we ever want to see the tangent that we'll be on if it hasn't been for the Lord on our side. Amen. So we give God thanks through it all. We give him thanks. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We want to complete the entire chapter. I was giving members time to log on, so that they wouldn't lose anything, because this chapter is really a compact chapter. It has everything there is in it. It's a powerful study. And I am excited to share it, because I know that something good is going to come out of this study. Some light is going to be shed. And that's my prayer this evening, that there will be a lot of takeaways from it. Amen.
Oh, my earth.
First, it's going to be very interactive as usual. I'm going to ask, as I share, that if there is anything impressed upon your heart to share as well, you can come on and mute your mic, come on and share it for the benefit of all who are here, and to enlighten your own understanding as well. Iron sharpeneth iron. There's not I do not claim to know everything there is. There are some things that maybe I don't readily know, but if it comes up to so such as a situation like that, we can all rally around and find some amicable solutions to whatever. So we give God thanks. Amen.
Man.
Yes. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to look at from 1 to 16. We want to cover the entire thing, God's willing. But if not, we're not going to rush it, because it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot to chew upon. And it's best if we do it good, more than to rush it through and we don't get the real. We don't get to chew the bones. We don't want to rush it through and then we don't chew the bones and get the nourishment from it. Amen.
Man.
Yes, so we're gonna take our time, but we're gonna try to complete it. Amen. So this chapter, still written by Apostle Paul. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 last 2 weeks, and we chewed a lot upon it. I think we had I don't remember if we did everything, but I am gonna take it for granted that we did the entire chapter. All right. And whatever we missed out, we know that somewhere along in Corinthians, we will pick up on it and cover it. So this chapter speak about wisdom, as you would have read it through in the course of this week. It speak about wisdom, the simple message of the cross, not needing any clever speech or persuasive words to present. It does need, Paul said that you don't need no eloquence or no clever speech or no wisdom of this world to understand. It has to be of God. Amen. Apostle Paul emphasizes the wisdom of God revealed through the Holy Spirit, contrasting it with the wisdom of the world. He kind of intertwine it with the show you the difference between godly wisdom and the wisdom of the world. And most of us are familiar with the wisdom of the world. As a matter of fact, as young as a baby could walk or talk or whatever, They're trying to use their little brains to trick you into something. You know, they would want to hide the sweets or something that you would want to take away from them. They would hide it from you when they see you coming. They're trying to use wisdom to trick you. You know, the worldly wisdom, and they, you know, they grow up, and if they don't, you don't like something, they try to cover it up. You know, they would tell a lie. They would take stuff that you said, do not trouble that or whatever. Is that as if they tend to sway to the opposite way of your teaching and stuff, and that would be their little wisdom that they're trying to say that they're using. Amen. But we're gonna see Paul talking about a different type of wisdom, godly wisdom, and it's not attained by worldly possessions or eloquence or words or whatever, but only by the Spirit of Almighty God. You know, so we're going to look at Paul's reliance on God's wisdom, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Anyone there can just read it for us? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4.
I
Verses 1
got
to 4.
it. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, Brother Grant. Amen.
Thanks.
Yes, we know, as I said before, everyone wants to be wise, you know, but there are all kind of wisdom or intellect in the world that we are exposed to. Everyone wants to be wise, you know, but you know, some people are book smart. Their wisdom come from books, you know, they are great at taking exams, and they are academically smart. You know, they can recite off the list of facts on any possible topic. They can speak about it. They're just smart that way. You know, while some people can tell you what news are trending, you know, what's on the news, some people can tell you what's going on in the government system. Some people can tell you what's going on in the sports arena. You know, there some people can direct you out of the top of their head to a favorite restaurant that has good food and stuff. That's their wisdom. They know where good food is, and they know where you have a good mall or stuff. You know, and yes, and some people are smart with money. They are money smart. They are great at investing. You know, you'd find them finding good deals and using their money effectively as well. You know, they whatever they put their hand to with money wise, you know, it's always flourish. You know, they always say Chinese are good at businesses. You know, they know to use one business, open another business, and they continue the chain just like that. You know, then you have some people who are street smart. You know, they know their way around the world. They know things work. They know how to survive. You know, they can be a good mechanic, a good computer technician. They can be a good dressmaker, a good tailor. You know, they are smart that way. Can play music well and all of that. You know, yes. So we have different type of wisdom, but worldly wisdom in whatever form it is. Whatever worldly wisdom, there is something that is lacking from it. There's something that is lacking. It still leaves a deep and meaningful part of our lives void, the worldly wisdom. But Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there's another kind of wisdom that is available. This wisdom can apply to every part of our life. You know, and it touches every part of our life, both now and even after death. Yeah. And you know the funny thing about it, people of God, It is not vice versa. If you know what I'm saying, it is it cannot be reversed. Knowing worldly wisdom doesn't mean you understand heavenly wisdom or godly wisdom. You know, but the other way around, if you know godly wisdom, you're able to fulfill all there is that you need to know in this life, including the physical stuff. Amen. Yes, so you get the godly wisdom, it covers every other wisdom that is in the world. But if you get the wisdom of the world, that doesn't mean you have the godly wisdom with it. Because spiritual things are
Our spirit.
spiritually discerned. Amen. Yes, so the wisdom, this wisdom that is of God is not reliant on smooth speech. It doesn't depend on clever arguments. You know, it's nothing to do with how you can put forth your arguments or how you can address certain situation. It has to do with the Holy Spirit of God that
Let
indwells
us
you.
you
And you'd
not your
find
time
yourself
yourself.
inadequate sometimes. You know, you'd find yourself inadequate. Just like Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, when the Lord would have spoke to Moses to go release his people, Israel, out of bondage in Egypt. Moses would have said to God that he cannot speak. You know, he cannot speak. He's not eloquent. There's something suddenly wrong with his speech. You know, something suddenly wrong with his speech. He realized that he's deficient in that sort of wisdom that God would have called him into. You know, just like Jeremiah chapter 1, when God would have called Jeremiah would say that he would find a reason to say, "I'm just a child. I cannot speak." You know, and so it goes with us. In order for us to attain or to achieve spiritual wisdom, we have to see the deficiency in ourselves for needing that sort of wisdom. Amen. So Paul would have said that. Paul would have said that when I came to you. You know, when I came to you, that's what he started off with. When I came to you, Corinth. When I came to you, believers, saints in Corinth. You know, and we'll see that when Paul came to Corinth in Acts chapter 18, I believe, Acts chapter 18, he met a Christian couple there. When he came, he met with Aquila and Priscilla. You know, he stayed at their house, Aquila and Priscilla. When he came to Corinth, he stayed with Aquila and Priscilla. And they were tent makers, just like Paul. Paul was a tent maker as well. That's what he did in the secular world. He built tents. So Aquila and Priscilla, wife and husband, they used to their job was to build tents. Their trade was to build tents, rather. And Paul would have stayed with them for 1.5 years, and he supported himself there. He supported himself there by his tent making. He supported himself there by the trade that he had. You know, so he would have said that when I came to you know, and then he would have said, I did not come then with excellency of speech. You know, Paul did not come as a philosopher or as a salesman. He came as a witness declaring the testimony of God. He came as a servant, as a missionary then. You know, he came as on business for the king, and he didn't come with excellency of words. Paul was certainly a man who could have reason and debate about anything, you know. Very persuasive, because Paul was well learned. So he could have reasoned and debate about anything and make conscious decision, you know. He then make a very profound statement. He said, I determine. That means he physically made an effort not to come with eloquency of speech or anything like that. But he said, I determine to take all emphasis off myself and put it on Jesus and on him being crucified. You know, Paul was an ambassador. He wasn't like a salesman, like he was an ambassador. So he took all this limelight off himself and placed it on the cross of Jesus Christ. In this approach, Paul understood. He didn't cater, you know, in this approach, Paul would understand that he's not catering for his audience. He's not catering for the people in Corinth, even though he was Corinth and he wanted to get the message across. Because you remember when we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul would have said that the Jews seek for a sign, but the Greek, that's a Gentile, they seek for like wisdom or something like that, the worldly wisdom they seek for something else, you know? I think it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. You know, this the Greek, that's the Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Greek, you're a Gentile. They would seek for wisdom, worldly wisdom, and the Jews would seek for a sign. You know, so Paul didn't present the gospel in that way. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, stick a pin right there. Nowadays, if a preacher is not careful, he will get in the way of the gospel instead of being a servant of the gospel. If a preacher is not careful, he'll get in the way. Paul didn't want to get in the way of the gospel. You know, it's easy to hide Jesus by their preaching, the way the message is being presented, even in this era. You know, some preachers are evangelists, however, they would mention everything about themselves first before even touching on the things and the main things that they would come to present, the thing that would save people. You know, so they would mention about their achievement, they would mention about their what they their family, they would mention about their journey, they would mention everything about them and themselves. And standing in the way of presenting the gospel that can change people. And sometimes, even the very way they attire kind of take away the real gospel message. You know, because do you know that presenting Christ, when you present Christ, the way you attire yourself, the way you portray yourself, tells a whole lot about the message that you're trying to present? Yeah. It tells a whole lot about the message that you're trying to present, you know, because if you just come anyhow or just casual or, you know, the way you present the word has a lot to do with how far the word will reach. You know, so Paul would say that I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. Paul was not filled with self-confidence. You know, it could have been that he was in weakness and in fear and much trembling because of maybe he was expecting some sort of persecution from the church in Corinth or from the people in Corinth. It wasn't then a church. You know, yeah, so. Some theologian like Calvin, he would say that maybe he was afraid because he didn't know how they would accept that Christ crucified and resurrected and the whole gospel message, you know, and in a flourishing place like Corinth, you know, Corinthians, the Corinth, as we mentioned in chapter one, that Corinth was a flourishing city. They had everything going for them. Their economy was good. They had good structure and everything. You know, they it's as if they it was like a blooming city. And we mentioned that it would be like maybe a city like New York or some big. You know, it was just flourishing like that. So he didn't know what to expect. So Paul said that he did not come with persuasive words. He didn't come with persuasive words, and Paul. Here, Paul is not rejecting persuasive preaching, you know. Don't get Paul wrong when he said he didn't come with persuasive words. He's not rejecting persuasive preaching. Because you remember in Acts chapter 26, when he stood before King Agrippa and he would make his defense before King Agrippa. He was very persuasive to King Agrippa, He mentioned everything. He mentioned his road to Damascus, where Christ would have strike him off his horse and blind him. And he mentioned all of that. And it would have shown persuasion there. And even when he was done, King Agrippa said he almost persuaded him to be a Christian. When Paul was done explaining himself. So Paul is not against persuasion and stuff. And also Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So he believed in persuasion, but in this particular situation, Paul was not about persuasive arguments in getting the Corinthians to know about Christ, and Paul would have done that for like two particular reasons. He didn't try to persuade them. He said Paul knew that persuasion doesn't work, since it's only God work in the heart that can change a person and let them accept God's wisdom. It's only God. So you and I trying to persuade somebody to come is like carrying the water to the horse, but you cannot force him to drink it. So persuasion doesn't lead anybody to Christ. Sometimes the persuasion even drive them away more than to lead them to where you'd have them. And then the other reason why Paul would not try to persuade them is listed in verse 5 of this same chapter. Verse 5, it said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So even if persuasion would work, it wouldn't work. That's what verse 5 is saying. Even if persuasion would work, it wouldn't work. Even if Paul or we try to persuade someone to believe, through clever words or words, whatever words, it would be unsuccessful because their faith would be in our arguments. The faith that person would have coming to Christ would be in the arguments that represent the logics or the evidence rather than the word of God and the power that it is to transform the life. So what is the problem with that? What problem would we find with that? We presenting Christ with our own arguments, our own words, our own this. As humans, our logics and evidence and arguments, they are fallible. They are fallible. The word of God is infallible. But our logics and arguments, it will fail. Perhaps someone will come after us that is even smarter than us, that have more words and more eloquence and of speech than us. And we'll talk to that same person that we want to Christ and tell them another logics, and that person would switch over. Because if it's logics that would bring somebody to Christ, that same logics gonna take them away, would take them away from the path that you would have them to go.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so logics cannot save anyone, because somebody with more logics than you gonna come and tell them something else, and said some would say worship Mary instead of Christ, and they would prove and say this is why you should worship Mary. Some would
It's
say
untrue.
worship on this day instead of worship on that day, and then they would take that they would present that day to that person and say this is why you should worship on that day. They would say worship Muhammad instead of Christ, because this is what Muhammad did. And they would present some arguments that is more clever than you thought you had presented to them. And that would change them out of the way. And then they, and what happened then when somebody come and present something more sticky than what you had presented? They won't believe anymore. If we try to persuade them through clever speech, we are setting them up for failure.
Human wisdom.
Yeah, we human wisdom. There have been people, who have believed and rely on certain preachers
Yes.
and Christian spokesmen or whatever. People who build their faith is grounded in that preacher and that religious spokesman. And these leaders sometimes fail.
I mislead them.
Yeah, they sometimes fail and
Yeah.
then they become disappointed.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when that leader fails, very likely some of the congregation is going to lose heart and give up as well.
I leave the congregation.
Yeah, they're going to leave because their faith was grounded in the words and persuasion of that preacher.
Yes.
Yeah, and so now that preacher failed, they're going to lose heart because they weren't exposed to the wisdom of God, the godly wisdom that can transform your life. So
Yes.
it's a one-to-one connection that have with God. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. So even if your leader or your pastor or whatever would transition to go to glory and you are left here by yourself, you can still survive because you weren't depending on him and his persuasive words, but you were grounded deep in godly wisdom, and you know how you know the source of your wisdom. The source of your wisdom is not in man or the speech. So that's one of the reasons why Paul wouldn't want to use clever words or his own ideas to get them over to come. Yes, but he used
Grace of God,
godly wisdom.
warm
So
spirit.
Paul presented Christ in demonstration. And as we're on that, it just goes to show. All right. Let's just see what that we have coming from here. Paul presented Christ in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, the Spirit of Almighty God and of power. Paul knew it is the preacher's job to preach, and it is the Holy Spirit job to demonstrate.
It's the user, yeah.
Yeah, so our job as preachers, or our job as presenters, or our job as Christian workers is to present the gospel, and now the Holy Spirit is the one who demonstrate what is happening. The Holy Spirit is the one now that will seal the deal.
Yes.
Yeah, seal the deal. You remember, Word of God tells us that Paul plants, Apollos water, but it's
Is
God
from
himself
God.
who give the increase.
Amen.
So we in our witness, as we witness, we have to understand that is the power of God that transform lives,
Amen.
not us per se. We can give a powerful testimony, yes, and we can say this and we can say that, but is God himself going to take a word from what you say? And when that person would be in their downtime, maybe in their bed or so, that word would come tinkling in their head, and that word would be so powerful to transform them. Not the whole 9 yards of what you tell them, or the whole thing that you say, when you were broke and now you come to God and now you are rich or whatever, or you were jobless and when you come to God, now you have a job and whatever. So Paul preaching may not have been impressive or persuasive on a human level, but on a spiritual level, it had power. Amen. So let's look at chapter 2, verse 5. And this is going to tell us the reason for reliance on the Holy Spirit instead of human wisdom. Verse 5. Somebody, anyone there? Verse 5.
That your faith should, verse 5.
Yes, verse 5.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen. So I said that your faith, our faith that we're trying to present, it should not stand in the wisdom of men. Preaching strategies centered on the wisdom of men. What we have invented or what we have achieved, you know, whatever you'd want to tell them, the job that you're now doing, you want to tell them that the universities that you attended, the accolades and stuff, that don't tell biscuit of the gospel that you're trying to present, your achievement. It doesn't yield no fruit there. It doesn't yield no fruit. It doesn't present the kingdom of God. You know, many people would use slick entertainment, and they would even use deceptive way to lure people into church. You know that, right? People would
Yes.
use deceptive way to lure people into church, and saying that we're using this method to draw them, to win them to Christ. No wonder why you find so many people failing nowadays, because they're not there. They weren't. They didn't go there with the right intention from day one. And as soon as these things start to look black and ugly, they start to withdraw themselves because they weren't really saved. You know, because you and I have to be careful the promises that we make to people to take them to church.
Yes.
We have to be careful the promises that we promise them. You know, use the word of God. Don't promise them that when they come, they're going to come and have dinner with you. Don't promise them that when they come, you're going to buy them this and you're going to buy them that. You know, don't promise them that when they come, they're going to find wife or husband in the church. Don't promise them none of
Yes.
those things, because that will lead them astray when they tell them that come to church and you can find a good wife. Come to church and you can find a good. Don't promise them those things. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them know Jesus died for their sin and Christ love them. You know, don't tell them that when they come, they're going to get job. Because there's a lot of brothers in the church that have business and they would employ you and give you a job. Because when they come and you don't
You
meet their
disappoint
expectation,
them.
they're going to leave the church.
Leave, yes.
You know, don't promise them nothing more than when they give their life to Christ, Christ will fix it for you, because your experience in Christ is going to be different from my experience. You know, God work in us and at an individual level. You know, you may come and all of a sudden you get a promotion on the job.
Yes.
And you start to flourish and you start to this and that. Meanwhile, another person may come and they don't get that promotion. So
Yes.
don't let that person be coming to Christ or coming to church based on
Based
getting a
on
promotion at
anything.
work.
Because all that Paul wanted, he wanted their faith to rest on Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
all he wanted, on the power of God. He
Amen.
wanted their faith to rest on the power of God, not on and human belief or so. That is what he was trying to say.
Yes, amen. You know,
Human
so
cleverness or so.
yeah, he want their faith to be grounded in Christ
Right.
alone, the solid rock on which they
Yes.
stand, so they can stand on their own two
Won't,
feet. They
yes.
can
And
stand on the
God, rely
promises
on
of
God.
God. Yes. You know, so be careful. We ought to be careful the promises that we make to people to bring them to church. We have to make sure it's the word we're giving them. The word
Yes.
is powerful enough. It don't need no other argument. It don't need no other creed. It is
And the
enough that
Holy Spirit
Christ
will
died.
do the rest.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit
Will
is
do
the
the
one
rest,
that
yes.
gives the increase.
We're at work.
Yes. Yes. So we have to take heed and be careful that we don't use persuasive words to
Words.
our own detriment in
Yes.
presenting the word, because when it bump prime, or when it turned back, it's going to be deadly, and you're going to be accounted. So don't promise. Use the promises of God, not your promises, not man's promise or whatever, because we are fallible. It will fail. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So Paul preaches real wisdom, not the wisdom of men. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, someone read that, please. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 8.
However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That is
Amen.
Jesus, yes.
Bless the Lord, Sister Lynette. Yes, wisdom for the mature or for the
Yes.
perfect. Verse 6. It teaches us wisdom for the mature or for the perfect. He said, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Those are the mature believers. Perfect, mature. Amen. So Paul distinguishes between the wisdom of this age and God's wisdom. The perfect or mature believers are those who understand and accept divine wisdom, which surpasses worldly
Yes,
understanding.
them recognize God's wisdom.
Yes, so the mature believers, the perfect believers, and perfect don't mean that you have everything right or everything copacetic, It just means that you are mature enough. You are mature. You are being nurtured in the grace and admonition of God's of God. And you have reached a level of maturity. So don't let that word perfect let you believe that you are right there. And then it's just mean that you're mature. Amen. And let's look at James. James chapter 3, verse 17. I'll just read it. James chapter 3, verse 17. It said, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure, then peaceable. No, it said first pure. I'm trying to quote from King James Version, but I'm reading from the NIV. It said, first pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincerity.
Praise God.
Sincere. I think the King James Version is said that the wisdom that comes from above is
It's
first pure,
pure.
then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Right? Did I quote that right? I'm not sure. But it
That is
mentioned the
pure.
word. Yeah, it said first pure, then
Pure.
peaceable, without partiality and without
Yes.
hypocrisy. But the
There is
NIV said
one
that it's
above.
full of good fruit, impartial and sincere. Amen. I think those are more secular words that we'd readily gravitate to and understand more than But this is saying to us that divine wisdom, as a reflection, is showing the divine wisdom as a reflection of God's character. The verse portrayed, this verse that we just read from James chapter 3, verse 17, it shows wisdom that originate from God.
Godly
Often called the
wisdom.
wisdom from above, and it
Yes.
reveals God's moral and spiritual attributes. It revealed God's morals and spiritual attributes. It serves as a model for us as believers to emulate. The qualities that it listed, it is first pure purity, then it is peaceable, it's
Yes.
and then it shows humility. That's the wisdom from God, humility, pure peaceable, mercy, it has mercy, wisdom from God has mercy, it is impartial and it is sincere. And these are the fundamental aspect of God's nature. The fundamental aspect. So you can't tell me that you are a believer or you're a Christian and you don't you're impure. You're not living a pure life. Your life is not transparent. Your life is shady. Every time you get to con somebody, you condemn. Every time you get to tell a lie, you tell a lie. Every time you get to take something, you take it. Every time you get to walk out of the way, you walk out of the way. You know, that's not a demonstration of purity. You know? So when you're pure, it shows the wisdom from heaven. You're carrying that wisdom from heaven when you're pure. And it is, you know, it's impure. It has no, it's free from corruption, free from selfish motive. It doesn't focus on you yourself. It focuses on Christ. It reflects morality. It reflects integrity and spiritual purity. You know, you can't tell me that you're a child of God and you have the wisdom of God and you're not peaceful. You know, you can't tell me that you're a child of God and you don't even love peace. Everything
A war boy.
come out, you're like a warmonger. Everything you're supposed, everything, every opportunity you get to quarrel, you quarrel. That doesn't demonstrate the wisdom of God. Sometimes you have to just bite your tongue
Yes.
and quiet yourself and just take the wrong. Sometimes you have to take the wrong
Wrong
in order
again.
to make peace reign.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be a peacemaker for you
Yes.
to be a Christian. Because remember, you know, people, the unsaved, they're looking at us, you know. And if they see that we are like a warmonger and we don't love peace and stuff, and we love Satan, we let our mouth carry go bring come and we make our speech. You know,
Yes.
we set up people against people and we
Yes.
try to
Yes.
separate even people marriage. You try
Christ.
to mash up people marriage, you try to mash up good friendship and stuff. You know, it doesn't show peace. It shows that you're like a warmonger, and that's not of God. You know, many humility, you have to show a level of humility. You have to humble yourself. You know, as a child of God, you have to show humility. You have to humble yourself. You have to be considerate to others. You have to show how much you care about others. You have to consider them and their well-being. Care about them. How are you doing today? How was your week? How was your day? You know, how is the family? Show sincerity. Show some sort of caring for your brothers and sisters and stuff. You know, you hear that they are sick and you see them. You pray for them and say, how are you feeling now? But you know, you let them know that you care about them and stuff, and you show submissive. You are submissive as well when that spirit of wisdom is in you. You're
Amen.
submissive. You're submissive to the Holy Spirit. You listen to God's authority and His guidance, you know, and you're supposed to be no partiality. Not supposed to be in you. You're not supposed to love somebody, love someone you don't like some because of something or whatever. You don't show no partiality. You just is a level playing field when God
Amen.
start to bloom in you. And you
Amen.
start to mature. You know, when you start to mature, that's the maturity that Paul is talking about, the perfection that he's talking about. You know, when the Spirit of God start to bloom and blossom in you, it has no partiality in it. You know, you deal with everybody one measure straight across the board and stuff. You know, you don't just sway to one group and you leave another one and stuff. You know, and so showing that the ethical and practical implication of that wisdom that is from above, it shows in the way you behave. It shows how you speak as a believer. It shows how you act And it shows how you relate to others. As quickly as we look at verse 7, it gives a divine hidden wisdom. A divine hidden wisdom. Paul would emphasize that God's wisdom was mysteriously hid from the world. It was God's wisdom is hidden from the world, but revealed through Christ to us. As I was saying when I just started off, the natural wisdom that we have, the wisdom of this world, it's on a different tangent to the wisdom of God. And it will never be in the same line. You can world smart, street smart, and every type of smart, but you will never be God smart unless you come in contact with God, unless you accept Him as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
That's the only time you will get godly wisdom. It comes from the Spirit of God that would live inside of you when you accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Verse 8, the rejection of God's wisdom. He said, the rulers of this world who present worldly powers and authority, who represent worldly powers and authority, did not understand God's wisdom. Because they would consider it like like foolishness to them. The things of the Spirit of God, they would say that's foolishness because they cannot understand it. The world will not understand why every Sunday you would go to church. The world would not understand why you would come to a Bible study like this. The world would not understand why you pray so often. The world would not understand why you say everything you do it so prayerful and so sincerely. The world would not understand it, but the Spirit of God that is in you, it shows you a different way to live. It shows you a different light that you must follow, and it lets you have that communion with Him ever so often. So your old persuasive, the old way you look at stuff is now changed, and you're now transformed because that Spirit of wisdom is coming. It has come to live in you. Amen.
So
Yes, sir.
you are able to understand the spiritual truths through discernment because God gives His wisdom to those who love Him. So now we are able to discern what is going on through the Spirit of God that dwells inside.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Anyone else want to share anything here? Anyone else want to share anything on that? Amen. God's wisdom is known only by the Holy Spirit. Yes. It's only known by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Anyone there can read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 11?
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Sister Camille. Yes, so verse 9 to 10, Paul was quoting here from the Old Testament. He was quoting from Isaiah 64, verse 4. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither that it's entered into the heart of man, the thing that
And
God
things
has
that
in
God has
store
prepared for
for
those
them.
who love Him.
Yeah, so
Yes.
he was quoting there from Isaiah 64, verse 4. And he, he use it to emphasize that God's plans and blessings are beyond human understanding or imagination. You can't imagine it. Oh, that is why we have to let the Spirit of God transform a person. We cannot use our persuasive words or our own intellect, our own means to convert someone. We have to depend on God
The Holy Spirit.
because his understanding is vast. Eye has not seen, ears not
Seen, ears
heard.
have not, yes.
Yes, so we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work. You lead them to Christ, and Christ now
You
do the
leave it
rest.
there.
Yes, he do the rest. So verse 11, Paul draws an analogy. Paul used an analogy. He said, just as only a person's own spirit knows their thoughts. He said, only God's spirit knows God's thoughts, and God's spirit dwell in us as believers. That's why you see a believer will prophesy. That's why you see a believers will intercede. That's why you see a believer will give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, because God's spirit dwells inside, now dwells inside that believer, and that believer can work miracles, sign and wonders will follow, that believers. So when you're a believer, children of God, the Spirit of God is inside of you now, and the Spirit of God comes with the gifts of God. So have the gifts of God. And then the gifts of God that you now have will produce the fruit of the Spirit. So you become a beautiful soul, one that is full of godly wisdom then and there. And that is what Paul is trying to get the believers in Corinth to come to that place where they are mature enough to have the Spirit of God in them. When you have the Spirit of God in you don't run towards every little sign and every little noise that you're knocking down the road and say, okay, a prophet is down there. Let me go see what the prophet doing. Make the prophet give me a word. You have the word in you. So you don't follow after signs. You don't follow after signs as believer. Sign follow after you. As a believer that has the Spirit of God in you, sign follow after you. You are now a new creature and brand new man. And the Spirit of God start to blossom and manifest itself inside of you. And you are now, Paul mentioned you now as being mature.
Mature. Yes.
Amen. A mature believer there and then. You don't run after sign and any little noise a year. You jump and leave the church that you're in and say so you're going to the next church because you hear that a Holy Ghost pastor down there, a little devils and stuff. Stay at your church and make a difference. Don't just skip from one place to the other because you're running after impression. You make the impression as a child of God because you are now you have the wisdom that comes from above.
Yes.
Yes. So the Spirit of God that is in you knows what the Spirit of God, what is in the Spirit of God. Amen. Just like how you know your own thoughts. That the analogy.
By
Yes.
revelation from God, by the
By
Spirit.
revelation.
Yes, by the Spirit.
Yes. So the importance of the Holy Spirit in understanding God's divine purpose. That's what this passage is highlighting. The
Amen.
importance of the Holy Spirit in highlighting God's purpose.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Let's look at I think we have about what's some another 9 minutes or so. Let's look at First Corinthians 2, verse 12 to 13. 12 to 13.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Sister Lynette. Amen. So verse 12 to 13 emphasizes the source of understanding spiritual truth. It's not anyone or anybody can understand spiritual truth, you know. The Spirit of God have to be in you, and that is what we're trying to emphasize. If anything, if there's one thing you need to leave with this evening, is that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You will not understand spiritual things unless you have the Spirit of God in you.
God
The
and
way to
God
get the Spirit of
revealed
God in
it
you,
to
yes, you have to accept Him as your Lord and your
Lord and
Savior.
Savior.
Yes. You know, so it's not the enticing words or the long debates and whatever. It's the simple, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
You believe by faith.
By your faith. You know, so, Revelation, the Spirit from God reveals spiritual qualities that cannot be grasped with the human reason alone.
No.
This divine insight is essential for understanding God's freely given gifts, including salvation and spiritual truth. You know, you know how you used to be before you get saved. Now that you get saved, you doesn't have this the type of it's like things that you used to do. You have no eager. I know you have no, it's like you stop doing them.
No appetite for them.
You have no appetite for them anymore because you are now a child of God, so you don't have any appetite. Sometimes, you know, some of the things that you used to do out of the way, it take a little time to go away, you know. But some, if you become a child of God, let me tell you something. If you become a child of God and not even, you say you become a child of God and not even one thing that you used to do, don't change. Check and see if you're really a child of God. If even one something have to change when you become, even one, some of them will stay a little longer to get away than some, you know. As you study the word, as the Spirit of God start to mature in you, then you start to shed off those and stuff. But when you come immediately, some things that you used to do is going to stop right away. And I promise you that. I promise you that. And sometimes it doesn't happen physically, but it happens spiritually. It may still be there, but the way you view it is now different. You view it as different. You view it with grace. God's grace now carrying you. So things that you used to let you curse and swear,
Don't do them again.
you don't do it and you find yourself not doing it anymore. God, God give you a measure of grace. And
Yes.
the Spirit of God quickens you. It makes you alive. That word
Alive.
quicken, it makes you
Make you
alive.
alive.
So when your thought would try to utter a swear word and stuff, right now you remember that you're a child of God and you bite your tongue. I said, until after you train yourself that way, it just become a nature, a second nature of you, not to even have even that thought anymore. You just become a sweetly, sweetly converted, sweetly. And so the last two verse, 14 to 16. He said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. No, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have. You. This is Paul, and as we mentioned, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians church, and Paul said that we have So you know that he's writing to Christians, he's writing to saints, even though you see that they were he was addressing a situation where they were divided. Some of them saying that they are Paul, they are Apollos, they are of Christ and stuff. And Paul is saying, is Christ divided? And so even though they had their issues in that church, they have, Paul is saying that we have the mind of Christ. So we as people of God, we as born again believers, we need to exercise the faith in the things of God so that we can be, that we can be, we can lift our head high and say we are mature believers. Let's work towards maturity, people of God. Let's work towards maturity. Let's give ourselves to
Amen.
God. That's a challenge today. Give yourself to God and let Him work in you and through you to make the crooked part straight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, before Sister Allison comes to pray us out this evening, is there anything anyone would want to share? It doesn't have to be about the message, the chapter can be about anything, it can be a testimony, or it can be something that you want to bring out to light from the passage. Anyone?
Yeah, I got out of this by restoring the natural mind cannot understand or receive from the Spirit of God. And only
Thank you,
the
Lord.
spiritually alive, those who are saved, those who are in Christ, can discern spiritual wisdom. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
I wrote some notes. So in my notes, I wrote, a preacher can get in the way of the gospel. Source of your wisdom is not in man. Do not worship clever words, promises of God, not your own promises, and can't be from God if you don't love peace and be considerate to others.
Amen. Yes. Definitely, definitely, Brother Grant, we can get in the way of the gospel, you know, presenting things, our own ideologies, you know, let them, you know, take away from the gospel, telling them and be careful what you promise people to lead them to Christ. Don't promise them wife and husband and all money and job and all of that. Let Christ fix it after you present the gospel.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Oh, yeah. I have a few notes here myself, too. Well, I wrote quite a bit. I have God the wisdom, your secret truth, which is God's secret truth. But I said, God the wisdom will help us throughout our life. I have humility, remove ourselves and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Godly wisdom will give us boldness and eloquence. Paul was humble. He didn't deliver his message with skillful words or human wisdom, but with God convincing proof of the power of God's Spirit. Our faith does not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Only God's words can make the change. Persuasive words doesn't. And our faith should be grounded in Christ alone and not in human wisdom or logic. The word is powerful enough. The Holy Spirit will do the rest once the word is planted. Mature believers recognizes God's wisdom. And the heavenly wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy, good fruit without partiality or hypocrisy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And God's wisdom is impartial, sincere, and it helps us to demonstrate God's character and his spiritual attributes to demonstrate a life of purity, free from corruption and selfish ambitions.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Anyone else? All right. All right. Want to take this opportunity again to welcome you all to this platform, you know, Faith Defenders Bible Study. I Thank God for you. And I know that his words make a difference. You know, his words make a difference. And as I present, there's a little song that came up to me. As a matter of fact, from this week it was on. I've been praying that while I'm here presenting, or from week to week, I don't want like it's I being the way of it. You know, I want Christ to be seen through it all. I want the wisdom to present the gospel message in such a way that you can do freestyle. You are just now in the arms of God, in the arms of sweet deliverer. You know, so it's like I want God to give me that wisdom to present the gospel message in such a way like what Paul did, not in eloquence of speech or human wisdom, but make God be the one that is seen through it all, you know, through it all as we meet from day to day. And with that, if there's anyone visiting with us for the first time, I want to welcome you. I thank Brother Grant. He was here with us last week. Brother Grant, we welcome you again.
God.
We bless God for you. We bless
Thank you,
God
thank
for
you.
you. Amen. 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 I see Sister Lem as well. Welcome, Sister Lem. Bless God, bless God, bless
Thank
God for
you,
you.
everyone. Bless you, Brother Scott.
Amen. Amen. Sister Desiree and Sister Dacia, we bless God for you. Yes, and yes, we bless God, we bless God, we bless God. Amen. Amen. And we want to take this opportunity to invite you to come back to this platform on a Thursday. We have a good thing going on. Same place on this platform, the same time on a Thursday at 8 p.m. You know, we have a good thing going on where we worship, we praise, we pray. You know, is a moment of breakthrough. So if any at all you're available on Thursday, a matter of fact, make it a part of your schedule if it's possible to join us back here on a Thursday. We have a good thing going on. Amen. Prayer Portals to Heaven Ministries International. So we meet back here on Thursdays. Amen. So, Sister Allison, are you ready for us?
Yes, sir.
Bless the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, mighty God. We worship you tonight. Just
Yes,
thank
Lord.
you for another opportunity to come before you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Heavenly Father, as we come again before you, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And for the fellowship we've shared tonight, oh God, as we delved into your scriptures and into the word that you'd have us to know in this hour, Father God,
Yes, Lord.
we're reminded that our faith does not rest upon human wisdom, but on the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes,
We
Lord.
acknowledge that without Him, Father, we cannot truly understand your word. We cannot understand your divine plans or the deep things, oh God. So we thank you tonight for opening up the scriptures to us, Father God. Your word says, wisdom gives life, and if any man lack wisdom, he should ask for it, mighty God.
Oh
Father,
God, yes,
tonight we
Lord.
ask for the spirit of wisdom and discernment. We ask that you continue to open up the scriptures to us to reveal your deep mysteries. Thank you for your servant and for speaking through him tonight. I thank you, oh God, for using him. Father God, continue
Thank
to
you,
open up our eyes,
Jesus.
our spiritual eyes, and our hearts to understand your mysteries and the mystery of the gospel. We ask for continued revelation, mighty God, that we may
Yes,
know you
Lord.
better so that we can have the mind of Christ. Father God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. And those who are not able to make it, oh God, I pray that we will have the mind of Christ and that your spirit will be our continued guide. Let him teach us, counsel us, and strengthen our faith as we grow, as we go through this season. Replace every doubt, Father God, every fear, and any confusion, oh God, with your peace and clarity.
May we not rely on our own understanding, but trust that the Spirit of truth will always lead us.
Yes,
And
Lord. Yes,
God,
Lord.
empower us tonight. Empower us in this season, oh God, and help us not to rely on human wisdom, human logic, Father God, but may our lives be a living testimony of your grace,
Oh,
drawing
God.
others closer to you, Father God. Father, I pray for those who need a healing tonight, be it
Oh, God.
spiritual, physical, emotional, or otherwise. Holy Spirit, minister to your children tonight.
Jesus. Yes.
Encourage their
Yes,
hearts
Lord.
tonight. Trust in you, Father. You alone know the plans that you have for us, mighty God.
Yes,
And
Jesus.
hope and a future, an expected end, Father God, that only
Yes,
you can
Lord.
give. Father, let
Yes.
your word take root tonight. Let
Yes.
it fall in good soil, that,
Amen.
oh God, it may bring forth fruit, oh God, fruit that remain and that bring you glory.
Hallelujah.
Father
Oh,
God,
God.
we ask you to seal our prayer tonight with the blood of Jesus. Continue, oh God, to bless your man servant. Anoint him afresh tonight, oh God, and fill
Oh,
him with a
Jesus.
fresh fire, a fresh zeal, oh God, a fresh anointing to continue your work, oh God. Oh God, he who began a good work will complete it to the end. And I pray, mighty God, that you touch him right now, oh God, from the top of his head to the sole
Hallelujah.
of his feet. May your Holy Spirit, oh God, move through him, oh God, right now. Continue, oh God, to use him, oh God, in this season. Every
Jesus.
time we need to hear a word from you, oh God, it's now, Father God. Father, we thank you for hearing us tonight. And for your spirit, oh God, who intercedes on our behalf in ways that we cannot even express.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, cover us under your blood. Cover us, oh God, for the week ahead, oh God. Strengthen us for the week ahead, Father God, that when
Yes,
we go
Lord.
to different places of work, whoever we interacted with, Father God, that they'll see the love of God in us, oh God, and that, oh God, we can draw others to you through the life that we live, Father God. We
Hallelujah.
submit everything to you tonight, Father God, and we pray that you'll take full control of every area of our life, oh God.
Yes,
Everything that
Lord.
we do, oh God, let everything, oh God, be sealed by the blood of Jesus. Cover your children, oh God. Cover them, oh God. They're going in
Hallelujah.
and they're coming out, mighty God. I lift them up before you tonight. Help us, oh God, to stand firm,
Jesus.
firm, oh God, on the rock, oh God, so that we shall not be moved in this season, oh God. But, oh God, our faith will be grounded. It will be rooted. It will be grounded in you,
Hallelujah.
Father God. I thank you for
Hallelujah.
tonight. Thank you, oh God, for just
Thank
open up
you,
your word to us, Father God. And I
Lord.
pray, oh God, that you just take root, oh God. We'll meditate upon it, oh God. And we realize that human wisdom is nothing, oh God.
Jesus.
Oh God, we're to
Oh, God.
seek after the wisdom of God and your understanding, mighty God, because only that can take us through this season. Father, we thank you again. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Be with each one of us as we part
Hallelujah.
one
Hallelujah. Amen.
tonight.
Thank you,
And
Jesus.
just be with us, I pray tonight. Cover us under your blood throughout this night, oh God. Keep us, oh God, within your care. In
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless the
Amen.
Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
you,
God,
Jesus.
praise God.
Hallelujah. Bless
Hallelujah.
God, Sister Allison.
Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. May the peace of God the Father, may the peace of God the Son rest, remain, and abide with us all now and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen.
greet someone as
Amen.
you go,
Amen.
and we look
Amen.
forward to.